This is the fall, but we were waiting for Woody.
We were taking a taxi the other night.
You did?
The microphone is no good for you.
Huh?
The microphone is no good. It's just directional.
Directional?
No. It hasn't done. No, it didn't pick up.
Mario?
Huh?
Do you want some more drink?
Oh, that's a flat.
And there's some more.
I know. Go to the hospital.
It's coming tonight anyway.
Tonight?
You like it coming every night.
You know what this baby is, Mom? He's a night hawk.
Not bad, Mark.
A night hawk. Every night he wakes up and starts to come. That's what I did. I came at night. I've been working nights. Where was Autumn going?
About 4:01 in the afternoon. She started about 2 in the night, though. But she started going direction. It's a long way out.
I kept on going the wrong direction, too.
So it took me 5 minutes, finally. She's always been slow, anyway.
Are you slow? Why is your mouth so slow? Yeah, all I can do is...
Careful, drop out. You can say that, you know?
We went to see the kitchen. Today, did Mama tell you?
Mm-mm.
Are you at the club?
You
want to
pasta? Oh,
I can hardly walk.
I didn't know it's been. Mary had to run to the bathroom all day. I had to drive her home forever.
You're up on the same feet, reading Rachel's letter.
And then I was
a green beach.
And then I started. A green beach.
Then I started doing this. Then you
what? Then I started doing the big one. Oh, God.
What time was it then? But how come you
got a major and major more? Because no one else got up. And then you got a ride to work. Retreat.
Hey,
Mom,
get off.
Yeah,
here.
You know, it's easier than writing a letter.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're
telling them about the surprise you're going to send them.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to. That's Vonda.
She's crying. Yeah, I want to tell about Vonda now. They heard it.
Oh, well, Vonda's a little dachshund. And she kind of bites. And
see, they can hear it, but they don't know what's happening.
Well, and now I'm going to send you something for something. I can't exactly.
Get your hands up. Rhonda, cut that out. Marcel, what was just happening? I can see all that.
Oh, well,
See it, honey. Don't touch her.
Brown, fur, with a little specks of black. A little funny. And her feet are like gophers. Her front feet are like gophers' feet.
Does she like the toy?
No. You said that he loves the toy. Only he looks a little bit too rough. And,
surprised when they get it anyway. When they hear the tape, it won't be a surprise. You'll know what it was.
But we have a chance to eat. What do we expect that doesn't come?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is here but is absent?
But we're not
visible but is invisible.
Well, we're not gonna send that to you.
They'll get it before they hear the tape. And then you can tell them about how you made it.
Oh,
Mary won't play the tape till after they get it. Probably, anyway.
Well,
say you probably got the news and then tell about it.
Oh, you probably got the birth announcement of whether it's a boy or a girl. And
which is it?
I don't know. It's not born yet.
Oh, well, they already know.
Yeah.
By the time they hear this anyway.
But we haven't had sex, so we don't know it.
Yeah, so chewing up her ball.
How did you make the announcement?
I printed them. See, there's this linoleum, and you carve it. So you carve things out of it, and whatever is left of it, you roll the ink on it, and whatever is left of it, it prints on paper, and we made about 120 of them.
This is a section of the birthday party. I think it must have been the year previous, in 56, at Labels and Ann's. And we are opening presents here.
Oh my God, you have to carry that one?
It's sort of heavy, so I had to carry it.
Is this one? Is there a card to that?
Where does it open?
Oh, who is that from? I didn't see any card in it. Yay! A plot. Irene needs to have a candy.
Yeah, I can't think about that
stuff. Give Irene her stuff.
It's weak and I'm leaning on his shoulder. With much love. We didn't know his birthday until today. Or last night today.
That's right. So I don't like the show.
Here's a dying one.
No, thank you.
I'm dying.
Look at those curled things.
Keep the ribbon. Keep the eye hole.
On 848 Street. I was born in St. Joseph's Hospital.
I live in San Francisco. My brother is sick in the hospital.
Now you're sick? And why did you just
tell me?
What does he have?
He has asthma.
Oh, you got something?
There's no two watches, cause I got a cold set. Where'd you get your cold set? At the North Pole set. What'd you do there, set? Catch a cold bear, set. How many cold bears did you catch? Spanish stem.
I don't know
it. Can I do my stuff? Spanish dancer, do the flip. A kick, a turn around, a touchdown. Get out of my town. Spanish dancer, please come back. Sit on the deck, read a book, and do not look. Want to see the many spell whale.
Yes.
Ask yellow whale to come. Tell me the name of your honeycomb. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V. W, X, Y, Z.
Nancy Hanks, David Crockett, Sparrow Hawk, and the others. Happy birthday, Lincoln. Happy birthday. And I hope you write many, many more books. Happy birthday to your friend and admirer, Lincoln. That's lovely. Well, no, I have to write something. I'll take that home with me and I'll stick it up on my wall when I get discouraged.
Yeah.
And I'll have to write some more books.
Fear glow red, glow white, and here and there as the pulse of power overcharges the feeble medium, as the contradictions stagger the mechanics of settlement, the fuses glow. Upon the night a shadow darker than darkness falls and fades, the light is stronger, conquers the dark, the dreams of men stronger than the gloom. The peace of death is no peace but a death, and the land is ganged up on the butcher. Harsh, bloated, and heavy faces scream hate and evil. Pursing the payoff, the chief screamers manufacture the large lie, beating their gums and beating the drums on the tortured air and the pandered cage. Come one, come all. Sell your souls for a lot of the ready. Give your reputation a transfusion. We'll not only pay you off, but we'll build you up. Our trumpets will rank you with Leonardo, with Whitman and Shakespeare. You will praise each other, and in that intoxicating process all will increase in tinseled stature and strut like peacocks down the sawdust void. Nor can the honest destroy you, their means are minute, and they'll be branded as false, the servants of the Antichrist, and their reputations will shrivel under the heat of our organized hate. The pitch fists marshal their mercenaries against the pressure of people. Long robes with barreled sleeves swell out in falsetto thunder as the grotesque pontificate, the slick screams fouling the breeze like a poison gust. Be not alarmed, my brother. These rolling ponderosities, these velvet brocades, these striped pants and cutaways hide fear-streaked bottoms. For while they total their millions and their minions, hug their atom bombs like a sacred hope, stir their frenzied cultures in their test tubes, top dogging it to the last hour of their last day, the earth moves from beneath them. For out of our pain, unity, out of defeats, unity cast into steel and cast into wisdom, out of victories, burgeoning unity, able and eager to encompass all mankind. Take heart and sing. The long night climbs into dawn. O valiant brothers and sisters, the field is almost won. The cartel puppets shake and fall to our waking strength. And we can hear the overture, not faintly as in a distant dream, but vibrant and alive, the crashing chords sound over the next hill. Not the saccharine or the frenzy of the pooped-out sycophant, song of all peoples on one road, louder than bikini, the song we make and hear, peace will triumph over war.
Happy birthday to you, plump, plump, plump. That's percussion. Three exclamation marks.
Percussion man.
You are a good writer, so here's a book for you by me.
Right here.
Now, here's the book, see?
Open it.
Oh, wait, I have to show it first.
Open this.
You always wished me a happy birthday. So now, it's my turn. What's that?
I'll try to
make it very snappy. I've got my glasses on, maybe she'll read it. Maybe my family and I will, huh? All right, go ahead, I'll be there.
Is there a shadow on the sun, a fear upon the night? Our strength in hand, the dread cannot withstand when we unite. Every step a shock of pain, and every dream a grief? Is every work of brain and hand a bauble for the thief? I cannot waste in weeping, to sing is not to die. I sing the splendor rising before the sun is high. Because we're men and women, we'll Waterloo the threat. Because we guard our children, our sun will never set. We'll walk a world of wonder that's ours and mortgage shy. I sing of liberty and peace under a threatening sky. We'll win our way to able strength and rest the golden fleece. Under a poisoned sky I sing of liberty.
Oh, that's a new one. You didn't make one, Bernie. Why didn't you make one? That's a new one.
To remember Isabel Gonzalez. Isabel Gonzalez was an organizer and leader of the Mexican-American people in Colorado and New Mexico for many years. She's the author of Stepchildren of a Nation. She died in 1946. We will raise a statue in Denver's Central Place with arms outstretched to greet us, a smile upon her face. When we have reached the summit along the way she led, a garland of red roses will crown her sculptured head. Memo to the artist who will carve her strength in stone. She never fled encounter, and she never stood alone. She left us the bonanza, more than we can spend. The pride to call her comrade, the pride to call her friend. For Morton Sobel on Alcatraz. His crime was friendship, so he walks in stone. His honor bright amid the drabs and grays. His measured step ticks off the circle days. From year to bitter year he walks alone. The friendless ones, the bond stocks and their kind, stand virtue on its head. Call crooked straight, to handcuff right, to guard their silver plate, they torture justice to a warped design. What breathes, what sings, what lives when friendship dies? Not love, not freedom, but the grasp of hate. Not peace, not joy, while good folk hesitate. Not truth still smothered in the shroud of lies. Who has a friend that he can call his own must lift the hammer to the walls of stone.
Happy birthday, dear Maribel. Happy birthday to you.
Bravo, bravo.
Happy birthday.
Directed again. I like the way you directed.
Good director.
Today is the
birthday. About a birthday that he wanted.
Yeah, you
directed again. He's terrific.
Christopher, I like to see it direct.
Yeah, direct again.
He's the one directing. Wait. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Merida. From all of us to you. Happy birthday, Merida. From all of your fans, too. We congratulate you and pray good follow, too. Happy birthday, Merida. May all of you good dreams come true.
We got this for
you. Bravo! I direct another direction.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Here, listen more, brother. Listen more.
Happy birthday, dear Maribel. Happy birthday to you.
Would take it back with her. Okay, okay. Now, all of your kids come with me to the land of the sea. It is far, but we shall say to the sea car.
Quiet, and make up a...
Yeah.
You're gonna make
that's
it.
Okay, mighty.
Listen. Now remember, get it well organized.
The town's daughter, the daughter of a rich man, married his daughter to him. And they're sitting around living off the old man, waiting for the old man to die. Maybe there'll be a little bit left when he's dead. You see, that's our goal. Meanwhile, he reads the newspaper every day. He gets the newspaper. He's a little bit of an intellectual, but not much of one. Not much of a separation from the...
That's what the pantomime was. He would swap on, then all of a sudden he'd remember.
Yeah, he's important. Remember, he's important. And yeah. Then he goes and signifies by that. That was the intent of the pantomime. And he's hurrying to fulfill his role. We put in a few lines that he's meek and mild, you know, but when the newspaper comes, he's the king of Casablanca.
He's the guy that can read the newspaper.
He's the guy that can read the newspaper. In giving characters to some, we didn't have enough in the play to give it to Sal Fenster. We gave him the kind of a character that we told him, this is the kind of guy, you're the town rich man. Now, Kastrolka rich man.
Yeah,
now Kastrolka rich man is not very rich, you see. But anyhow, for a rich man, you're the rich man. And it just burns you up that you can't read. You got more money than the rest of them, and you can't read. And you got to sit and wait for Zadel to come and read the paper to you. But we didn't have enough in the script.
You weren't
able to get that across, really.
No. Well, it's not. It's only a little fine point.
Yeah.
I thought Jim Moss was very.
Oh, Jim Moss was very good, but the old Jewish people don't like Jim Moss. Because Jim Moss's Tevye was a modern Tevye and not Tevye of 1890. And it was a very good Tevye. As far as I'm concerned, he did a beautiful job. But the Tevye of Shalom Aleichem was a little bit different than that.
He said one guy.
So what would he look like?
Congratulations,
Abel. Yang could have played Tevye.
Oh, I don't know.
Well,
it's not an easy job.
No, Tevye is the kind of a guy who always. He's kind of a strong, forceful person who purposely mixes up everything, who gets everything in a pot and mixes everything up.
I don't
want to
learn all the lines.
He makes quotations that are
all. He purposely does it.
He makes quotations that are incorrect. But the incorrectness has a certain real correctness, you know. He garbles every quotation, but the garbling of it makes real sense.
You get a lot of things off to look at, you know, on purpose.
Yeah,
you
didn't get that from his fulfill.
No, but we didn't have enough Tevye. You didn't
put across a real Jewish character.
No,
we didn't want him to.
I don't want him to. Why do it? Let's select from Shalom Aleichem what's best for today. We're not trying to create Kastrilovka in 1890. What the hell? That's for artists to do. But we want to say something right today. And so
I like him because he looks like a character out of Mark Twain.
Yeah. So we pick and choose and make. Yeah.
We made
what we want out of it.
Maridel saw him.
Yeah.
But how many was Jim and Maridel saw?
Well, everybody.
Everybody except the people who knew Shalom Aleichem.
It's not important whether they put it in the same way. It's whether they get the same feeling.
The way we worked on Jim for that prayer.
You got to put a compliment on that. The Jewish fellow come back.
Oh, are they Jewish?
He
isn't Jewish, is he?
Yes, he is.
Is he?
But
he has no Jewish background.
No, not at all.
But Jim has a Jewish background. He's a good guy, but
he has no Jewish background.
He has never was
told.
That's why he came from a reformed Jew, you know. It was not easy for him, you know.
No.
Well, yeah, Liz.
No. Hello, David, Jossie, Judy, and Danny. Hello, David, Jossie, Danny, and Judy. Hello, David, Jossie, Danny, and Judy. I welcome you and you. And you too. Hi, David, Jossie, Judy, and Danny. I miss you, and I hope this summer I can visit you again, because I miss you very much. And I just want to see you again. I don't know why. And don't forget, I'm Christopher.
Come on, Chris, I'll kiss you. I didn't need
all we need is the cameras rolling.
Hello, David, Jossie, Judy, and Danny. How is Minnesota? I am Lincoln. Hope you remember me. This is Maridel's birthday. Now it's Randy's turn, so goodbye.
Very good.
Go ahead. Yeah. Hello, David, Jassy, Judy, and Danny. I'm Randy. Do you remember me? I visited you this summer. Well, anyway, today's Meridale's birthday, and we're all having a good time. How are things in Minnesota? I hope they're as good as they were when I came. Well, I have to stop now because it's John's turn.
I'm Lincoln, and I'm going to do part of a speech made by Frederick Douglass. And that is why the lords of slavery tremble at this new party, and at the very name of its champion, that honest son of the working people, Abe Lincoln. They threaten to maintain their rule of this nation by fair means or foul. Very well, then, we accept their challenge, for we know that without struggle there can be no progress. Into this contest, we who yearn for an end to bondage must throw ourselves with firmer faith and more ardent hope than ever before. What we can do by our press and by our voice shall be done. For Lincoln and liberty too.
The House with No One in It by Joyce Kilmer. Whenever I walk to suffering along the eerie track, I pass by a poor old farmhouse with its roof broken and black. I suppose I've passed it a million times, but I always stop for a moment to look at the house that died of a broken heart. I don't remember the rest very well. Think, but a house that has done what a house should do, a house that has sheltered life, that has put its loving wooden arms around a man and his wife, a house that has sheltered babies' feet and given warmth, is the saddest sight when it's left alone that ever your heart could meet. So whenever I walk to suffering along the eerie track, I always stop to look at the old house, the house with a broken heart.
Bravo!
The frame up shall cease. When Ethel and Julius Rosenberg died, it was because the bosses had lied. Ethel and Julius false would not tell. As for the bosses, they can go to hell. Ethel and Julius died in the electric chair, but the bosses didn't seem to care. When they died, they gave new spirit to us. If we don't have peace, the world will bust. As long as the dove of peace shall fly, the thought of peace shall never die. Before very long we shall have peace, then all the frame-up shall cease.
And what led up
to the It's really nice to be out here in San Francisco. We come a long road, this is Yank Levine speaking. I've been in San Francisco 2.5 years. Of course, you know that I come out here from New York. It was 3 days hard riding out of New York City. I remember traveling over here, and you know what it is to ride a bus.
Oh, I thought you were
4 or 5 days in a bus, you can go unconscious. What a ride. And Cheyenne, Wyoming, I had to take needles to keep me going. Well, we go to Cheyenne, it was that night and I can remember like today. So I'm tired, I haven't slept for 3 days. And I need a shave, and I'm filthy, and I'm dirty, I'm hungry. So an old cowpoke gets on in Laramie. So he gets on and it's night, we're all traveling, and I'm half dead, my back feels like a corkscrew. And he steps over me, he's a little drunk, and he sits down in a chair, and I don't feel like talking anyhow. So right along he says, he looks at me and snorts a little, and he says, "Hey, son," he says, "you know he's, I'm an ornery critter." I said,
Well, it's all right. Now, my mind is 1,000 miles away from one of the critters. All I want to do is get to San Francisco and the hell with it.
Yeah, he says, I'm a plum ornery, says. He says, well, what do you say to that? I says, you're ornery. That's all we want from me. I says, I'm tired. You're ornery and I'm tired. Let us go at that. I'm plum ornery. He says, you know, I was a cowpoke for 40 years. I says, yeah, that's nice. I was a cowpoke for 40 years. He said, I rode all the lines. He went past the cattle rangers, you know. He pointed out the different ranches that he had rode on, you know. Yes, he said, I'm a mighty ornery critter. I said, I told you. You told me you're ornery. That's fine. You're ornery. That's nice. I'm tired. You're ornery. He says, son, he says, you, I'm talking, you don't listen. He says, where are you from? I says, it's 3 days hard riding out of New York City. He looks and he says, by God, son, you're plumb ornery than I am. Plumb ornery than I am. The poor guy, it was snow. I remember he got off in the next town. I think it was in the...
One Needle.
In Nevada. Well, I think I'll end it there and see what happens.
I saw a dead horse.
He was taking needles to get him through.
Oh, my God. Well, Maridale rode the range from here, from Minneapolis to San Francisco.
And then came to a party.
Got off in South Dakota. I want to tell you, folks, he got up in South Dakota when he first started taking off, Irene Paul and George Taragas. And Debbie and the mob was leaving Minneapolis. She got as far as a little town in South Dakota, and she saw a head of a dead hog. No, a head of a dead cow, and she said, that's for me. Got off, the rest of the folks left, and she picked the head of the hog, the head of the cow. That old fossil walked back to the tavern, as I understand.
With a dreamy look on her face, she walked off with a fossil.
That's it. That's the last we saw of Mary, though.
She
couldn't get into the motel and got scared. How would you? What do you think a person walking with the head of a dead hog coming toward you and asking for a room yet? What do you think of that, Christopher?
What?
It's not believable.
Here she's walking. Can you picture Auntie Maridale walking down the plain with the head of a dead cow in her hand?
Twigs also.
Twigs also.
Well, I prefer to find your own way. That's what I mean.
I know, but and also sackcloth.
Not only that, but you know that little cabin that I got, and there was a lot of people across the way, you know?
Uh-huh.
When the sun went down, all of these people went back to town.
Yeah.
And left me sitting there with my head.
Oh, Lord. Did you have a motel to stay
in? There wasn't anybody within miles.
So were you happy or sad?
Well, I was astonished. It was very quiet.
It was a motel. The people were there, weren't they, though?
There was nothing but a little cabin.
Oh, but
it was just a little. It was made out of wood, wasn't it?
You didn't even have anything to eat, or there was nothing.
Well, you remember, you went and we got a little box of stuff.
Oh,
but these people all went away. I mean, there wasn't anybody.
They left you right in the middle of Kingdom Come. How did you get back when you finally got back?
Oh my God! Did they have water? Running water?
Running water. Nothing ran there but the rabbits and the gophers.
Well, there was no water.
Tell me, how did you exist?
Water. I stayed there a week.
Nothing but
you could just go back into the entrance. There was a big field full of flowers in the back.
Oh my God!
And you could just go within not 20 yards in the highway. You take off all your clothes and take a sun bath, and all these cars would go zipping by, and nobody even looked.
Yes,
you know,
I
all the
what do you drink? You're still human.
I drank whiskey.
Oh. I don't think you are.
Any wild horses around there, Maryville? Did you see a lot around there?
Wild horses?
Yeah, well, I went to South Dakota and Philip told me there was wild horses roaming around there.
Maridale, tell that Indian about how they took us for a couple of squaws. We were cooking our meal there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we saw that, Irene had a lace tablecloth.
Yeah.
She spread out.
She spread it out and apple pie is too.
Well, we ended up very far in this lace tablecloth. Looked like the mill tails of hell.
Yeah.
And everybody wiped their snoot on it.
And gravy stains and everything.
So by the time we got to Rapid City, you know, we had a pot.
And
you know,
I looked just like the
and real charcoal covered.
Yeah, and we were making a stew, you know, and we were stirring it. And these tourists came on and he says, look at those two squaws. Look at those squaws.
Not typical.
I gave up then. And I gave up everything.
Back a row, huh?
carried that cloth quite a ways. I think up in the mountains the dog ran off with it, bottom of fire. There was a gravy on it, and it was so juicy he ran off with it. He left the bones and ran with a tablecloth. Hell, they had meatballs from Minneapolis on it.
Why did you ask Laramie?
Judge Sturgis, he was back in the Democrats.
What did you do after Laramie?
We came in when he stopped you to check for the bugs.
Bugs?
The bugs and flies and fruit flies there. And the fruit are contaminated, they're carrying fruit flies. He opened my suitcase and I don't forget what popped out, two rotten oranges and a banana. And I had an old necktie. I didn't have much merchandise, but I was carrying a selling light.
Merchandise.
And it was nice, but coming into the town was really fabulous. I was really quite thrilled by the lights, you know. Gee, I could imagine what San Francisco would be like. And he sat coming, and I was rather sleepy, you know, and I tried to keep myself awake, but I could see just hills, and then bigger hills, and then lighted hills, you know, and then I could see splotches of water, and then it kept changing, you know.
Like you come in, yeah,
in the evening, you know. And then we come over the bridge, you know, and I saw the first time in my life I ever saw the Golden Gate Bridge, the Bay Bridge. It was a fabulous looking thing, you know. Gee whiz. And then...
San Francisco lionized.
Oh, I was the Caldero.
Yeah,
my God.
I
made my
debut. Social season of San Francisco, the PW Drive. But we didn't realize what was going on. We thought, what a fabulous city, you know,
parties, 16 parties. Shuttle system from one to another.
To get a little fresh talent. They were critical of anything.
I stepped on the stage. It took off the big timer. I just closed the seat. You've been around. I said, great. You look great.
Rupert O'Dance. They told me about you that you had been a former dancer in New York and you just come off the stage in New York.
Former dancer. Yes, I did with Draper. I helped him up.
Okay.
I'll tell you a story of the days of our past when we chafed at our chains to be free. I'll tell you about the battle that raged on the banks of the Combahee. Well, the Combahee is a peaceful stream and whispering glide to the sea, and its valley was lush with the golden growth wrung from our agony. Elsewhere the armies clashed and ran in 1863, while the green of its sheltered valley provisioned the enemy. Too well protected by the land, torpedoes watched the sea, till one came forth to crack the nut, Harriet Tubman. She scouting the land for the Union troops, she set the strategy that came to term on a summer night, June the 2nd of 63. 300 Negro soldiers set sail on gunboats 3 with Harriet Tubman map in hand to the mouth of the Combahee. They lifted every torpedo that leered from the summer sea and set impatient feet upon the banks of the Combahee. 300 barking rifles and organized melody, her rifle led the proud hymn to glorious victory. With every master dead or fled, with only his pedigree, the watching stars rejoicing saw 700 slaves set free. Before the soldiers and the freemen boarded the gunboats 3, they left each pillared mansion and the torch of liberty. Thousands of Negro soldiers fought against slavery, but this was the first engagement of our people's infantry. And this is the only battle in America's history planned and led by a woman which sweetens the victory. She had earned the name of general of an underground degree and glorified the title on the banks of the Combahee. If those were the days when men were men, what a woman was she. No other man or woman lives in a loftier memory. Loftier memory. Sometimes they try to tell us that we were given free. No, the power in our lifted arms brought all to victory. And if the truth were trumpeted, then all might plainly see how Negro slaves and soldiers threw back catastrophe. This is no idle boast of mine. President Lincoln did agree that our people's strength in battle dug the grave for slavery. I would not lift the credit from others' bravery. It was black and white together brought the year of Jubilee. This is the way it happened and the way it must yet be until we reap the full harvest of 1863. This is the glory of the days of our past when we laid down our lives to be free. Remember with pride the battle we waged on the banks of the Columbia. But it's all E rhymes, and everybody gave me help for just using.
Ode on Intimations of Immortality from Recollections of a Shameful Day. You hear the news come shrieking, you shake your ringing head. It's true, they did it. The Rosenbergs are dead. The Rosenbergs are dead, my child, upon a Sabbath eve, when the slayers drink disaster, then only. With eyes too dry for weeping and hearts all choked with pain, our grief explodes to anger like sunbursts after rain. From dreadful day to empty night, the frantic beast is fed. Within a summer twilight, the Rosenbergs are dead. The Rosenbergs are dead, my child. We take the solemn vow to lords of golden terror. Never shall we bow. They died for us, for us. For us, and we must make it good with solid strength to claim the day of peace and brotherhood. A name alive beyond the grave hardly falls to every lot, and most of mankind's mortals are a while and then are not. Still some have left the living work to mankind's greater glory, but for some, alas, the record shows it's quite a difference. For there are kings of infamy whose shames outride their hearses, whose names will live forever, memorialized in curses. Yes, all the slayers of the fair have earned a safe renown. The name of murderer shall be their one immortal crown. Untimely death, the final blow that no one can rescind. The bitter word flew round the earth upon the weeping wind. Earth's millions wept and raised their fists against barbaric night and pledged to keep the name alive of innocence and right. Now schools and parks and forests proudly bear their deathless name, and for today and for tomorrow their strength and love proclaim. And Julius is a favored name that parents give a son, and Ethel for the daughters to redeem the martyred one. Oh, monuments, and wreaths thereon, and the promise of fulfillment as life and work go on. The Rosenbergs are dead, my child. This is our nation's shame. Oh, day of days, our pain and grief mount to a raging flame. We shall ease our pain and grief and still the slayer's chorus and take our strength from them. To the struggle left before us. We shall claim our own, my child. In this our land, I swear, we yet shall walk together down Rosenberg Street to Rosenberg Square. There goes Harriet Tubman. Out of the prison of sorrow delivered, joy grew large, the war was won, the triumph blazed through every trodden heart. Oh, what a swelling splendor, oh, the morning is bright. Roses and laughter, the song and the shout, jeweled the day and the night. For this, the new world calling, tomorrow was brotherhood. All leaped to greet the glory when evil kneels to good. Smile on every dancing face twinkled long and strong. The soldiers dropped their leaded guns and lifted up a song. A hallelujah song rose high and thundered from every hill. In the million-throated chorus, no freed voice could be still. and Harriet Tubman, warrior and leader, sister to Joan of Arc, pillar of fire and courage that lighted us out of the dark. Her joy was like a bursting sun, and like the church bell's peal that rang the word throughout the land, her long-held dream made real. Her joy was like a mother's thrill as she laid her rifle down to board the train from the battlefield back home to Auburn Town. It took four men and all their force to lift her from her seat on Freedom Day in such a way. Ah, victory is sweet. Oh, mourn, you hills and valleys. Oh, mourn, you northern star, your priestess vilified and hurled into the baggage car. The winds will scream, the trees will break, and the weak be blown by fears. But she was made of a granite to withstand the raging years. Her will was a mighty fortress, no blows of four could shake, nor 40 times 400 force that giant heart to break. From the underground through the civil strife to the way that lay before, her life is a star to lead us and an instrument of war. Her long life through, with all her strength, she labored to promote full freedom for her people, the right of women to vote, a chance for every child to breathe the air of liberty, and every toiling worker reap the fruits of his industry. And if you had to find a job or wish to learn a trade, you sought out Harriet Tubman, who saw the arrangements made. And for all who brought their troubles and told them at her door, a meal and a hand clasp, advice and help, till trouble was no more. And for those who still were fighting past her death at 93, to keep their banners flying, she left her memory. Now as we join together to guard the precious flame, we link our arms in a marching wedge and reverence her name. And if our ranks hold steadfast, the world will greet the day. There goes Harriet Tubman, triumphant on her way. Or Walter Lowenfeld. To jail the poet is to cloud the noon. Some days are dark and some are bright with light. With light and thunder, sing it now and soon, of nations marching in the freedom fight. Think you that stone and iron can contain the world's staunch will to forge the lasting peace? That locks will hold a striving people's pain, keep mongers warm within a gilded ease? Too late, too late, you cannot jail his deed. His freedom songs upset the master plan. Yes, tremble, tremble in stockaded greed. The work goes forward and will free the man to comrades bearing on a freedom cheer bouquets of sonnets for the sonneteer. To the memory of Albert Einstein, the thunderbolt within the grain of sand, this is the power that the human hand has wrested from our ignorance and fears. This climax in our yet few thousand years of toil and strife, this is the promised land we touch across the ocean of our tears. How dark the night that was our painful past, how bright the morning that we see at last, how slight the bonds that hold us from the shore, the curse of greed, the evil deeps of war, these two will vanish though they yet hang fast. The thief, the slayer, the inquisitor. All these shall pass. Yes, we shall end the blight of ignorance for once for all, the fright of children and the power of the lie, the hunger and the long despairing sigh. We rout our darkness with the speed of light, set with our hand a candle in the sky.
Oh, the bell will punch. Tell me, name of your honey. A, B, C, D, E, F. Fred. Fred, Fred, do you love me? Fred.
Are you love me?
No.
Yes. No.
Maybe By Lucy Smith, who wrote a book of poems called No Middle Ground, and who is co-author with the new book of poems. And this will be read by Sarah Wright.
No man an island. There is part of me that can never go home, for I have known men who can never go home. The dice are thrown. The gamblers wait. I have known men who waited like this, who threw and lost, and now clutch nothing. The music blares, the dancers spin. I have known men who spun like this. At the impact of a bullet, they spin no more. I sight along the queue, I drop it on you. I have known men who sight it like this, along the barrel of a gun. They sight no more. There is part of me that can never go home, part of me that will always lie still on some lonely beachhead with the mind still unreached, where the waves of men flowed and ebbed like the tide. Because I have known men who can never go home, there is part of me that can never go home.
You got a news item. The American Embassy in London has given an exhibition of Whitman material to mark the centenary of the publication of Leaves of Grass, 1855-1955. I'm now reading a poem entitled Whitman Speaks. And shall a thousand generations show the idiocy of poisoning the sun, or conquer the world forever without a gun, in singing battles where my trumpets blow? Even in the deadly ash my leaves glow. Whitman in the service of the H bomb. Whitman under the wing of the Pentagon. The electric song sings out, hello. This is America you hear singing. Divine average, life majestic races. Continuous hands giving you in their grip, not a book, but ever returning spring to you, pioneers, and all.
That was Walter Lowenfeld, taken down in Philadelphia.
Fighters, here come the animals.
Well, hear him.
Fighters, here come the animals. Two fighters.
Sing happy birthday. What? Well, why don't you want to sing? Did you go outdoors today?
Daisy Crockett, the man that don't know fear. When he got home, Pumpkin was done for. Big question mark had just begun. So his head is here, his rest is done. Little forgetting to follow the sun. Daisy Crockett, the man that don't know fear. In my dreams, Mary, we all run on, roll along, roll. Mary, we go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Mary, we go to sleep so early in the morning. Good, I'll see you in my dreams. We go to sleep, I'll see you. Early in the morning, good night, Daniel. Good, I'll see you in my dreams. Mary, we go to sleep, no, go to sleep, go to sleep. Mary, we go to sleep so early in the morning. Good.